All right, we're back. Matchroom Radio returns for our second fight week. I'm your host, David Diamante, and this Saturday, all eyes are on David Avanesian's European title defense versus pretty boy Josh Kelly, PBK, which features a really interesting supporting undercard. So today, we're joined by the main event European title challenger, Josh Kelly, and he's 14-0 with 8 knockouts, and Michael Conlon, WBA and WBO Intercontinental Featherweight Champion.
That's Michael's record, not mine. Sorry, David.
We're also joined by Boxing Booth Jim. So we've got Adam Booth.
Yes, you do.
We got Charlie B. We got H. And we got Tower. So all the guys are here today. And a lot of great questions, a lot of great action. And as you'll hear very soon. Anyway, first of all, guys, welcome. Great to see you. How you guys feeling?
Have you ever done radio before?
I have, yeah.
Your voice is for radio.
I appreciate that, brother.
It's like chocolatey smooth.
I'm taken, but I appreciate it.
Perfect.
That. Yo, they say I've got a face for radio too, so you know. Guys, how you doing? Mick, Josh, great to see you guys.
You too, Dev, you too. It's good to see you again, my friend.
You too, my friend. I think the last time we saw each other, Mick, was outside the garden. I was on my motorcycle.
You're on the motorcycle. We talk about it all the time. How cool it was you coming to Damage, you on a motorcycle.
Absolutely.
Sitting there smoking a cigar, fucking bitches. You know what it is. It is what it is.
Get a room.
Living the life, baby. That's it. Josh, how you doing, man?
I'm good, bro. What you were saying about that today? My missus brought that up. When was it? Yep. We were walking
in. Yeah, we came into your face.
My missus pulled up with the and she went, "Can you remember when the MC David pulled up on that motorbike? How random was that?" I was like, "Oh, that was mad." When and I says like, "That was just like." He just pulled up and he was just there on a motorbike in the middle of New York. It was mad.
Well, it's the best, man. You can split through the traffic. You can park anywhere. And
it's cool, though.
Yeah, I love it. It's like two-wheel therapy, man. You have a tough day, you get on the bike, and it all just melts away,
What bike you got?
Well, I had four. I just sold two of them. I sold my Ducati, and I sold one of my Suzukis. Now, I just bought a Triumph Speed Triple.
Yeah.
Love Triumph. And I figured, listen, I'm spending so much time here in the U.K., I got to support my British brothers and sisters with the British-made bike. So,
Charlie, what bike you got?
Oh, you got the Scrambler. Yeah, it's great, man. They got so many nice bikes. I'm actually going to pick one up here in the next week or so.
Have you ever done Vegas to Grand Canyon?
I've been all around the world on my bike, brother.
Oh, but have you done that specific one?
Yes.
What's it like?
It's unreal.
Overrated or as good as people?
No. There's so much great riding in the States. So much great riding. Yeah,
there's a lot of great riding in the streets.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. But here in the UK too, and also Belfast, man, I traveled up to Belfast. Beautiful.
On the bike?
Not on the bike, but it was beautiful country up there.
Yeah.
Great people.
Ireland's a beautiful place, best place in the world.
It really is amazing. But, you know, and we're going to talk about this some too, but boxing up in Belfast, there are so many boxing clubs. It's just part of the culture, yeah?
It's just part of the culture. It's part of Belfast's history. You know, we're a fighting city, and within 2 miles of my home house, there's like 20 boxing clubs.
Do you guys all get along?
Some of them don't, some of them do, but mostly everybody gets along. But obviously, when you're younger, there's a little beef between clubs, but nothing too serious.
What about a man Tennyson? You see James Tennyson up there?
Yeah, he's a good guy. Good guy. Good fighter. Punches really, really hard.
Yeah, he does. He does. The assassin. He just moved up in weight, yeah?
Yeah, he moved up. He started off featherweight, super featherweight, and now he's up at lightweight. So he looks like he's doing well. A great win last time and, you know, big things ahead for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Josh, I want to ask you, you know, David Avanesian, he's got to have been on the back of your mind for, I don't know, probably since December of 2018. I mean, you've had three fights since then, but I take it this is the one that you've kind of wanted all along.
It's been one we need to put to bed. It's been one I need to put to bed, so it will get put to bed on Saturday.
It will.
Of course it will.
What's your take on the fight?
Oh man, I'm going in there to stop the guy. So, I'll give David massive respect. He's a credible fighter, but I'm going in there to get the job done on him. I'm going to do a proper job.
Yeah. What, you know, Mick, I know that you train with Josh and he's had to be obsessed with this fight. And I know you had the fight with Nicotine.
Yeah.
That had to be on your mind a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
How was that after you put that to bed? You fought him at the Garden and you got the win.
Listen, there's no better feeling. It's like winning the world titles is that kind of feeling that I would imagine anyway. I haven't won the world title yet, but I would imagine that's going to be like. It's a big relief off your shoulders. This thing, that thing was hanging over my head. This thing's been hanging over his head. We know where we're at. We already know we can beat these guys. We just got to go in there and do it. And I think on Saturday night, you're going to see Josh Kelly going in KO David Avanesian. I'm going to say between 8 and 6.
6 and 8.
Sorry, I'm going backwards because he'll be counting backwards, and that's the thing. You know what I mean? He'll be asking what rounds, and they'll be saying 11. So I don't know. You know what I mean? But Josh is gonna do a serious job on him. I've seen him work. I've seen that kind of add tiger, like they say, in the gym, and that's why I was when I was shooting for Nikita. He's had that in his eyes. He's had that hunger, that spate in training. I think you're going to see a dominant performance.
I mean, this is like his third time training for this fight, I think. Do you think that the time off has helped David, or you think it's helped Josh?
I think it's helped Josh massively. He's changed so much. I think the last time the fight was made and then it got cancelled because of COVID, he was super ready then, but he's unbelievably ready now. And I think time just, everything happens for a reason, right? And this has happened for a reason. All them cancellations have happened for a reason. Things are written already before they happen. So I think you'll see on Saturday night why it's went like this.
Yeah, Adam, let me ask you a question. Your gym, this is Adam Booth here. Your gym has had a bit of a makeover in recent months, and the new Boxing Booth gym, it's now fully open, right? So let's talk a little bit about some of the other guys in your stable, just real quick. Harlem Eubank on a great run, 11-0, 3 knockouts. Shannon Courtney. Big rematch coming up with Rachel Ball, Charlie. We can, you know, you're on that case. And also Ellie Scottney, you know, she had that great fight against Beck Connolly. And, you know, when she made a pro debut. And tell me about these fighters. Can she go all the way?
Who?
Well, I was talking about Ellie.
Ellie's got grade. She really has. And I think she will burst onto a high level scene very quickly. Certainly probably within a year. You got Josh and Mick leading the charge from the gym. They're both neck and neck. Maybe Mick slightly ahead because he's got that WBO ranking now. But it's a big year. It's a huge year. Harlem Eubank, most improved fighter in the gym. I think everyone would admit that.
In the whole UK,
he is just the perfect student. And the work that Charlie and H have been doing with Harlem, it's starting to pay dividends because he just made a 50-50 fight. A win for him, and he didn't come out of first gear against a very good fighter. So I'm excited about Harlem. You got Shannon in the rematch with Rachel Ball.
Can't wait for that fight.
And I think that will be more explosive than the first fight. I really will, because I think Shannon's game in every sense has improved. She's much more professional in every sense. And again, the boys have done such great work with her. I expect to see an excellent win for her to pick up a belt. And it's, you know, we're doing what we love. And you can just see from how we all are that we all enjoy each other's company. There's respect. There's all the good things. You know, taking the piss out of each other, having a laugh, having a joke, being there for each other. However late at night, if you need to talk to someone, it's just such a healthy environment. And I'm grateful that this is what I have around me.
So I have so many questions, but like you said, you were talking about explosive. Things got explosive just a few minutes ago outside here in the bubble. So, and you guys do roll as a team. So can you tell what happened out there?
No, it was just me and Neil had, you know, the history between me and Neil Marsh has been unfairly wound up by other people. And it all sort of came to a head. And then I've got a photograph. We sat down, we chatted, shook hands, had a hug, had a cup of tea, and it's all done.
So now
it's on Eddie and Matram to sell the fight. Neil Marsh isn't selling it anymore.
But I mean, there was just a dust up outside, yeah?
No, we're in boxing.
There were punches thrown, am I right?
No, there were a few handbags flung across the room. That's all it was.
David, leave it out, bro.
Come on, man. Listen to
David. David, where's your spoon at, bro? You got that wooden spoon out down there.
Let's go back to what I will say is I think both Neil Marsh and I have a newfound respect for each other because we'd actually never sat down and chatted before. All there was the bear baiting that went on over the last couple of years. And the fact of the matter is, Saturday night is about the fight and the fighters. And for me, about Josh Kelly proving to everyone what we already know. For me, that's all it's about. It's not about me. It's not about Neil Marshall. It's not about anything else other than that.
I agree. Yes, it's always about the fighters. Speaking of the fighters, and speaking of you, though, how did you guys, Mick and Josh, how did you meet up with Adam? How did that connection happen?
Well, we were just on a mad night out, me and Adam, and we just like
cocaine and hookers. That's what happens every time. It's cocaine and hookers. That's what it all comes down to. You know what I mean? That's all it is.
That's where Mick met him. No. Funny enough, my dad actually just reached out on Facebook randomly after I wanted to listen. My dad was like, I had an extensive amateur career. I've been through lots of ups and downs in amateurs. And he says, you want to go professional, you have to choose your coach properly. He wanted to step back and become a dad and not be me sort of so-called coach, because the house is just... it was too much stress in the house. So he says, I think a perfect coach would be Adam Booth. He was the first one who reached out. It was really random. Just says, like, because obviously we've watched the stylistic training attributes, what he does with, like, so David Ayer and George Groves, everyone else going back in the past. And I was like, yeah, man, he seems like he's got his head switched on. So that was the first person I went to train as a pro. And I left the gym and I never got the same feeling with anybody else when I went and tried other coaches. So I just... It was a mad one. I stuck with him. It was in my head, and then went back and signed, and the rest is history now.
Well, you know, it's a big deal for you because, I mean, Adam's in the south of England, yeah. And you're from Sunderland.
Yeah.
So you basically moved down there to train.
Yeah, but luckily enough, I found that obviously my wife is from London, so I live down there in that area now. Obviously, if it weren't like that, I'd be traveling down and doing my thing the same way Mick does from Ireland. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter where I'm at. When I'm, like Adam says, when I'm with the lads and I've got this team around us, you're at home, do you know what I mean? You're at home, you feel at home everywhere. Energy's been beautiful this week. I've only just come at the bubble and it's just like, I feel at home already, do you know what I mean?
How do the people down south take your Macam accent?
Some of them just nod and smile. Some of them just nod and smile because...
They treat you okay?
I mean, it's good because we got another guy joining the gym and he's just like, he's taking over tomorrow, Aaron, and he's from up my way. And me and him, when we talk fast, we talk in code sort of thing. We can talk fast and no one can understand us. But
speaking of Aaron, actually, can I butt in? We want Jake Paul.
Yeah, Jake Paul.
Aaron's a celebrity. We want Jake Paul.
You want Jake Paul. You're calling him out right now.
Aaron will fuck Jake Paul up. He will fuck Jake Paul up.
He's got hands.
Aaron done MMA. He's pro MMA fight. One loss in MMA, but he has seven fights. He will fuck Jake Paul up. He's got hands.
He's doing bits. He's training at the moment. He's on the pads a lot of the time. He's doing bits. But, you know what I mean?
Jake Paul's a bitch. He'll fuck him up. Simple as that.
Jake Paul's never a cruiserweight either. He should be getting that weight off, getting down. And Aaron, honestly, Aaron's got nearly, 3 million followers on Instagram and Twitter?
If Eddie wants to do it, come and speak to me.
That fight doesn't sell. What would?
Manager. We'll see what we can get going.
He's turning the momager.
We'll go with Saturday first, but we'll see what happens. Speaking of, I was going to ask you about your wife because if she's from up there, but she's actually from London, so she's close to home. Yeah. And you have the two boys now. How's that?
They're hard, good, hard, rewarding. Loving the bitch, wouldn't change anything. When you at the end of the day now, when you're fighting, you put everything on the line, but you just thank God that you go back home healthy and see the kids, because at the end of the day, that's what really matters.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, but obviously we're coming here to get this European title, and that's why we've got a group of absolute savages in the room ready to go and do a job. If you want to go to war with someone, you want to have people standing there who's not going to leave your side, and that's what we've got.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So we're in that war mentality, and we're going in there to grip that European title, man.
So Josh got the two boys. Mick, you have two girls. Is that right?
Ah, boy, girl.
You have a boy, girl?
Girl, boy.
A girl, boy. Okay.
How hard is it? It's not hard at all, mate. I'd be away in training camp. The only thing as hard as being away from them.
Sure.
But I'm very lucky. When I'm away, my missus does everything. So when I come home, I can sleep in the back room if I want. It's piss easy. If I'm going to be honest, I'm pampered and looked after. So
sure.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I would say it's easy having kids, but my missus would say it's very, very hard.
Yeah, because you miss them.
Yeah, definitely. Nah, it's the hardest part of it. See, leaving, no matter what, no matter how much you do it, no matter how long it's for, it's always hard and never gets any easier.
Big up Mrs. Conlon there. Big up Mrs. Kelly for holding the house down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I know that you guys are both really close with your family. You're extremely close with your dad, Josh. Mm. You obviously are extremely close with your brother, Jamie. In fact, you were just talking to him on the phone. There's a story that I love that I don't think a lot of people know about, and I want to hear you tell it. during the Commonwealth Games when Jamie stepped aside to let you fight and win that title. And that's actually, in a way, like he birthed your career and you kind of birthed his pro career, right? Because he turned pro after that.
Yeah, he turned pro. It was actually the Ulster Championships, the provincial championships back home. They get selected for the Commonwealth Games. And
right.
It was three in the weight, me, Jamie, and another guy. Jamie was the top seed because he was the reigning champ. I beat the other guy, got to the final. Jamie says, listen, you take it, you win, and I'll just go pro. And then he went pro, I went to the Commonwealth Games. I didn't win them that time. I won the next time, but that was the start of my kind of senior kind of setup in the amateur game, and then his start of his pro career. So it was back in 2009.
Yeah, it's incredible. I love that story. And you guys, I mean, you guys are really pretty close, and you guys train together all the time. You guys look at each other like a brother from another mother?
100%. We live together.
We live in the flat.
Sometimes I think I'm like his father. I look after
like an older brother.
The thing is, he's probably like
fucking father.
Like my son or my wife. He does my washing, does my ironing.
He is
makes my food. He does everything.
Tell you it is, right?
Does the cleaning.
This guy is the biggest kid in the world, right? Listen, we're sat there, boom, 11 o'clock at night, and I'm hearing, you fucking... I'd go off. I'm not surprised the neighbours upstairs haven't come down and knocked the door yet. He's crazy. God, it should be sweating in the booth. This is, oh my days, I'm starting to get
Dave,
hot.
Dave, I don't know how you're surviving with that gilet and the beard and the hair and the hat.
I always stay cool, baby. Stay cool.
Good customer.
Always stay cool.
Dave's got the voice off like Old Spice advert.
He could rock an Old Spice advert.
This is your man. Look at your man. Now look back at me. Yeah. Look back at your man.
Is it fedora? Yeah.
Now, both you guys, is very well known. You guys were both in the Olympics. 2012, you won a bronze.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you wait 4 years to go back to Rio in 2016. By the way, I just want to tell you, both of you guys, there's no way you would have known this. I was in Rio in 2016, right? Like literally 2 weeks before the Olympics, I was there. I almost got killed. Almost got shot to death in a favela.
A story not many people have heard. After everything that happened in Rio, my father left the village. we left the village and went to stay with my family.
Yeah.
And then we had to go back to the village to get our stuff.
Yeah.
On the way back, the taxi driver was driving crazy and he was beating. He started beating this woman and like shooting her, going, "You ran the wrong way, fuck. The guy in the passenger pulls out a Desert Eagle. We're sitting in the fucking taxi and he pulls out a Desert Eagle and just points at the taxi man. He shits himself. My dad just says, "Stay calm and sit back." I was just sitting there like, what the fuck's going on? But like, we almost fucking got killed that time. That was crazy.
Right.
That was crazy. I was in a favela and I had a City of God moment. I had about 6 machine guns pulled on me and not in a friendly way. But I made it out, and that's a story for the books. We'll tell that. But I was in Rio, too, back then.
So
but
who did you sort
just talk.
What did you do, Dave?
Just
what did your lips
voice?
Go, Dave? I'm sorry, man.
I stayed cool. I stayed cool.
I'm only joking.
But I want to talk about how what's really interesting to me, most everyone knows the story about you, Mick, in the Olympics and what happened and stuff. But what I love about that story and what I find very interesting is that you've used that, instead of being bitter, you've used that as a positive in your life. Can you tell me how?
Yeah, well, everything happened. I just flipped the script on it and went crazy on live TV. Kind of regretted it immediately.
It went mad.
But 30 minutes later, when I looked at my phone, I was like, well, this is the best thing that's happened because the reaction is justified. And
you're speaking your heart.
It spoke my heart. I didn't think anybody would have wanted to come near me, but everybody wanted to come near me after that, so it worked well.
And you were adept at sign language, too.
Yeah.
There was also some hand gestures, folks.
Yeah, their fingers are actually very good use at times, but that time, you know, they actually done a lot of good work, so I would say it out of paychecks, zeros to the paycheck, the kind of knowingness in the pro game. It got me ahead of 90% of the people already.
Yeah.
You know, Olympic gold medalist, the box on my undercard. And I think if I had went and won the gold medal, it wouldn't have propelled me as far as this has. So, you know, it was the best thing that happened to me. I think it was a blessing in disguise.
Let me ask you this. Because you did win a gold, you did win a bronze medal in the Olympics, like I said, in 2012. You still have that, I assume.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know this famous story about Muhammad Ali throwing his medal into the river when he was denied in a restaurant. after he had come home and won the gold for America. Do you still have it? Do you still look at it?
100%.
Do you feel any type of way about it? Or are you proud of it?
I love everything about it. I love every achievement I had in the amateurs. It's history I created for my country and something I'll always be proud of. So, not many people ever win a medal in the Olympic Games. So for me to do that in 2012, I'll always remember it and always have it.
That's amazing. You know, I want to talk just a little bit about fighting at Madison Square Garden, because both of you guys have fought at the Garden. Yeah. Mick, you fought there a bunch.
Yeah.
And you had your fight with Nicotine there also, in a small room and a big room. Yeah. Josh, you fought in the big room. Right. I mean, that's kind of a boxing bucket list. Mm-hmm. What else is on you guys' boxing bucket list? And not just boxing, but like life.
If I'm honest, I don't fucking have one no more. I've done everything I want to do. I've done Vegas. I've done New York. I've done Belfast. Just win a world title in Belfast, I'll be happy.
You've done Matchroom Radio with David Diamante.
I got presented my Prospect of the Year award, Charlie, by David Diamante. So thank you, mate. You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying, Charlie. Yeah.
For you, Josh, what was it like fighting at the Garden?
It was good. Mad experience. Just all the stuff that went into the background of the fight, but at the end of the day, it's only made us stronger as a person, as a fighter. So, I mean, that night I walked out the Garden with my head sort of a little bit shrugged, and then next thing you know, I get a phone call saying, my days, like the main event, what's happening in the main event? And I was like, whoa, I didn't even stay to watch it. I just got off and got myself in my own headspace. But I'm thankful for it. Everything happens for a reason, like I said. So God's there doing that. So it is what it is.
And speaking of great crowds and great places to fight, obviously you're a proud Sunderland gentleman. Oh. Currently the FC is what? They're in the sixth spot in League One.
Yeah.
It's been a struggle in the last few years on the pitch.
Mm.
Did you see the documentary, the Sunderland documentary?
Yeah, Sunderland Till I Die.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was good. It just looked like, it just highlights where I grew up and all the different places. It really brings you back, because when you're actually just living there, it's just, and when they bring it live on a video, it's different. Like, it feels different, but when you're just living it, you just sort of living it.
So. How would it be if you got to fight at the Stadium of Light?
Unbelievable. That's my next. That's the next thing. So I want to beat David. I want to fight the stadium. If they bring fans back, obviously, I'll be fighting every next fight.
What is it? 49,000 capacity?
Yeah, we'll have 49,000 jammed in there.
You know who
will
want
like Dave. Tuners.
You know who will want Dave.
What's that?
You know who will want there, Dave.
Well, yeah. So
I know you're gonna say it.
I gotta say it.
Baby
so
boy.
7 pounds. Look, 7 pounds
baby
away.
Baby boy.
7 pounds away.
Baby boy.
And 15 miles down the road. And UFC, you got Lewis Ritson.
Oh.
What do you think about that? How a potential future matchup that could be huge for the Northeast.
Yeah, get that on. Me and Ritson.
No. We want Baby Ben there.
Yeah, we want that. We want that
we
first.
We want Baby Ben. That's who we want. We don't want Lewis Ritson there. We want Baby Ben.
That would be a great fight too. I would love to see that fight.
Listen.
Josh will smoke Avanesian's boots. Ben's boots. And if Lewis Ritson wants to come up, he'll sit on him too, so don't worry about that. I'm just going to talk for you, Josh. Don't need to talk. I'll just do all talking for you. I'll write the checks here.
Listen, this is the Michael Conlon, David Diamante podcast. We're out of here, man. I'll let you chat.
not just yet. Yo, Mick, I want to ask you, because you fought in Falls Park, right?
Yeah.
How was that? Just amazing.
Unbelievable. Best experience of my life.
Yeah.
No, it'll be very, very hard to beat it. And that's saying a lot. Like all the venues I've done, all the atmospheres I've experienced, the Falls Park was something special, something different.
I mean, we're there.
And there, that was a park I grew up in, and I've had many fights in, but I'd never been paid for. So, the fact that I was paid for a fight in that one, that was good.
That was a good one.
Best one.
And, a lot of people don't know this, but New York, you just have such an Irish contingency. Yeah. And kind of the Garden is like your second home.
It is my home, really. It's the majority of my fights have been in the Garden. I've never fought anywhere else more than there. So, I'm blessed to be able to go there and have so many fights and be treated like a member of the family at the Garden. So it's special.
Yeah, it's unreal. It's unreal. It's a great atmosphere. They say New York has got the three I's. Israel, you got the Jews. Italy, you got the Italians. And Ireland, you got the Irish. Yeah. So, yeah. Those, you got contingencies from all over the world, but the three I's are big.
So how many Irish girls have you seen?
What about Pakistan?
And we also have a large Pakistani population, that's for sure. There's no doubt. And some great Pakistani food, by the way. All right, check it out. Yeah.
All right. We're going to get you some hot spice.
That's H. That's H right there. Okay, check it out. So now we've come to the rapid fire questions. Now, these are the questions that the fans send in, and we shoot them off to you guys. All right. Oscar Pick asked Josh, a year or two back, there was some talk about moving up to 154. Yeah. What changed here? Nutrition?
Yep.
Yep.
How so?
Exactly. Yeah, well, I'm big 147, so I've got to get that nutrition right, and I have. And make 147 out beautifully, so...
Got the main man on board.
Jesus, I'll be making 140 in this hot box.
In England, it's illegal to leave a dog in the car with the windows closed.
That's right. That's right.
I feel like an Alsatian.
Hey, you were the guys that all insisted that you guys come in the booth together.
I got deceived by all the cardboard and neon lights you've set up here. I thought you might have a bit of aircon going.
Some fresh air,
I'll tell you, man. All right. So Jimmy Connors asked Mick, does a fight with
the tennis player Jimmy Connors?
No, but he was great. God. Him and McEnroe, man.
Now that would have been a if you got Jimmy Connors to ask a question.
It might be Jimmy Connors. You never know.
I'll take it.
Okay. So Jimmy Connors asked Mick, does a fight with Mauricio Lara interest you? And just for the fans out there, last week, Bronco stopped Josh Warrington in a great fight here at the SSC Wembley.
Yeah, well, it's not. I'm down at 122. I'll fight for the 122 hit this year. I'll win that. I'll move up. And if Lara's champion, I'll fight Lara. It's no problem. He can punch really, really hard, but technically he's not the best. Very easy head, very easy layout boxed. I think if Josh Warrington rematches him, Josh Warrington wins. He's just a tremendous puncher.
Okay. Now, the Beast 2020 asks on YouTube, he asked Josh, we've seen you involved with food outlet Burgers, Wings, and Ribs.
Yep.
What's your role, and is it going nationwide?
Yes, it will be soon. We're just gradually spreading across the country, but... I'm involved heavily in it. I'm one of the guys who's at the top. So I'm a director with two other my friends, and it's gonna slowly creep across the country, and we're gonna take over that food industry, baby.
I think we just found out the nutrition secret.
You know that.
Okay, Matthew Henderson asks Mick, that one finger salute and rant about Aiba after the Rio Olympic screw job is now stuff of legends. Has your feelings toward the whole situation eased at all, or does it still make you angry thinking about it?
Nah, the visa, as I said, is a blessing in disguise. My feelings towards Aiba stay the same and will always be the same. Fuck them, simple as that. But the bitterness and anger towards the decision, that was a blessing.
Okay. Southpaw Stevie 91 asks, Adam Booth, this is you. Put on your cans, buddy. All right.
See, cans on.
Outside of your stable, who's the one prospect from the UK and the world you pick to go all the way to win world honors?
UK? Dalton Smith.
I like it. Thunder from Sheffield.
World? I've been stuck in the gym so much, I haven't really looked at too much on the world scene, so I don't think I can give you an informed answer on that one.
Okay, but you're going to say Dalton Smith.
From the UK.
Right, guys, I'm just going to step out quickly and speak to Mrs. Mrs. needs to ring us about the kids, so I'll be 2 minutes, right? All right.
All right, we're gonna wrap it up right here. All right. Sarah Shaw asked Mick, we've seen your brother Jamie take on a role outside of the ring since he called it a day. Have you thought about what life looks like after you decide to call it a day? Is that in your thought process already?
Listen, it has to be in every fighter's thought process. If you're not thinking about what's next, you'll probably get stuck when it comes to that point in your career, or in life. So yeah, listen, if after boxing, I know there's roles there I could go into, I know there's things I could get into, but you know, I have a lot of things lined up for what I'm going to do, and it may not even be involved in boxing. So you know, I'll wait till after sport before I make my decision, but I have a lot of things lined up.
Now, finishing up, Andrew Matheson asks you, if you had to pick one fight before you retire, who would it be and why?
Before this, I would have said Josh Warrington. Before last week, I would have said Josh Warrington, just because of, you know, his fan base, my fan base. He's already beat Carl Frampton. There would have been a bit of history between the cities then. His father's Irish also, so... that would have been it. But
Sean O'Hagan,
he's a good, funny guy.
Great guy.
But
you know, I don't know, maybe a Lomachenko, maybe, you know, someone along those lanes, you know, at maybe 130, because I plan to get up to 130, win three titles in the next 3 weeks, 122, 126, 130. So
that'd be a really interesting fight, and they're both on. You guys are both under the same promotional stable, so that could actually happen. So all right. So fans out there, just a little exclusive to wrap up today's show. The fight between Jordan Gill and Cesar Juarez this Saturday will now be for the WBA International title. Some gold on the line and potential world ranking for the winner to add some further incentive. So guys, that's all we have time for today. We want to thank our guests, Pretty Boy Josh Kelly and Mick Conlin. This is David Diamante for Matchroom Radio, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Steve.